it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Siri, play It's Hot in Here by Nelly, because we were partying like it was 2002 at the Scotiabank Arena or the Air Canada Center when we had Jacques Martin behind the bench of an Ottawa Senators team alongside Daniel Alfredson for the first time since 04, except this time the Leafs took a big fat L. Welcome to Game Over Toronto, Ottawa. Collaboration, the battle of the 401 or the Highway 7 with our good friend here, Charlie Arsenault. How are you today? How are you feeling about that victory against the Big Bad Leafs?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm feeling better than cards on the table, not to like, you know, be too negative after a win, but I'm feeling better than I expected to. I mean, with the way the last Sens Leafs game went, the Leafs won when the Sens should have, you know what I mean? Joseph Woll won that game for the Leafs. Didn't even play the whole game for the Leafs and still won them that game. That's how good he was before he got injured in that one somehow. By the way, totally. I don't know if you noticed, but there was like this weird run where the Sens just kept like injuring goalies by not touching them. It was a weird way he made that save. Same thing with Jake Oettinger. Made a funny save the next game. Like, the Sens are just taking out these goalies and still losing all the time. So I don't know what the deal is there, but yeah, good game for Sens fans. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you know, it was, quite the way, like the Leafs are, they're like everyone else. Like when they come back from work for the holidays, they're always just, they wake up and it's like, oh, they have a case of the Mondays. And I don't even know. Is it Wednesday today? And that's kind of what we saw today. I mean, from a good first period, I thought we were going to talk about like Macklin, Celebrini, like on the Ottawa Senators. I thought that's what we were going to talk about, but that's how we started. We started the Leafs, you know, it was a fast and furious game in the beginning. And, you know, pretty early on, there was two quick goals, one on Matthew Nyes and right, like literally a breath later, Bertuzzi taps it in. And that was all she wrote for the Leafs. That was all the goals in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. I'm happy. I'm doing the show tonight because otherwise there's a really real chance I would have just stopped watching after that first period. That's just where I'm at with the Sens this season.
Yeah.
Like and it's because the Sens are also a notoriously awful second period team. Which weirdly enough has actually changed since Jacques took over. They've become a bad first period team instead, which is fine. Like, it balances out.
Yeah, like that's like from the Leafs side, that was pretty much all the positives that we could glean from this, except Martin Jones. You know, we had our guy, Martin Jones. He did not get injured in a non-contact way, thank God, because that would be the end of the Leafs season if he did. If the Ottawa Senators goalie killing streak kept, then you would have killed a Leaf season there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just need to take a second to address Delta Go in the chat. Charlie hit the button. Delta, dude, I can't hit the send button. It's game over Toronto. I'm sorry. Oh, I can't do it.
There's a button here.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you for not knowing, because I only hit it after Sens wins. There haven't been too many to watch. But yeah, on game over Ottawa, there's a Sens button that Mod and I will hit following wins.
See, I've hit the panic button many times as a Leafs in Leaf streams. A lot of times. I should get a real button that makes a noise that just makes like as a panic button. I'm not hitting it tonight, but I've hit it many a time in my time as a Game Over Toronto host. And yeah, like you said, second periods for Ottawa used to be bad. Now they're good. I always find the Leafs after a good period, they come back and they don't really come back. They go out for drinks like after. It's like, okay, great period. Time to go home. 20 minutes, that's it. You know, they come back. Not really much doing there. I mean, Jonas Korpisalo, the goalie of our nightmares from the bubble, making huge saves left, right, center on Bertuzzi. A lot of solid goaltending on both sides, I thought. And then it started the weirdness. It was a shorthanded goal. Nylander, not great coming back. Too slow for Kelly, back of the net. And that's how it started. And I'm like, ooh, this is not a good start. I felt the ominous Leafs darkness coming above.
Yeah, it sounds like we both were just not having a good time, because you're like, oh boy, here it goes. And I was going, oh boy, here are the Sens giving me a little bit of hope just to take it away at the last second. So the second it was 2-1, we were both like, oh, it's over. Like,
damn it.
both teams are going to lose.
Yeah. That's a sad state of affairs. I honestly, like, for the Ottawa Senators fans, for me, when it comes to other teams, I thought Ottawa was going to be really good this season. I thought they were going to be the New Jersey of this season. And now New Jersey is like terrible this season. So what I was trying to say is I thought they were going to be really good. And I was hopeful for a Battle of Ontario redo, because they got really close in 2017, but it just did not get there. And here we are. And I thought the Sens were going to be really good. I wanted them to be good. So, like, I'm not a hater. You could say that. So,
I think it's better. When both Ontario teams are good, it's more fun. Yeah, it's more fun. Like, the Sens and the Leafs have both made the playoffs. What is that? Twice since the salary cap came in.
Yeah, I guess so. Because like the Sens, they went on that crazy. They went on that cup run.
17 and 13, right? So,
I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. That's it. And, you know, other than the Sens going on that, run in 2017, the Sens went to the second round in 20. Oh no, my Sens brain isn't working.
I'm trying
2013. Was 13 the Hamburglar run? No, 13 was, yes. No, 15. I think 15 was the Hamburglar. No.
I don't know. 15, somebody's got to help us in the chat.
15 it was the long Hamburglar time run. 13 was the lockout season. So, okay. 13 was the lockout season. So, in 2013, the Sens got to the second round. In 2017, the Sens got to the third round. And probably only because the Leafs didn't get to the second round, because we all know Battle of Ontario, early 2000s, that's where the Sens go to die, when the Leafs also make it to the second round. That's just where it goes. So, I mean, listen, as a Sens fan, like, as an extremely biased, lifelong Sens fan, my worst nightmare is a rematch of the Battle of Ontario in round two. But as a hockey fan, it'd be so good. It'd be so good.
Like, they gave us a taste of that. I think it was the first intermission. They got Darcy Tucker and Chris Neal together. I don't know if you saw that. And it was...
I did, yeah.
I was like, wow. I remember. It just brought back this feel. It was the first hockey series. This is the first kind of hockey I started really watching. And I still, like, the best was when Darcy Tucker went to go murder the entire bench. I don't know. You don't see that anymore. That would be like a 5-game suspension right now. But
yeah,
just went, yeah, I'm going to fight the entire team. Good times. But I hope one day the paths will cross at some point.
Could you imagine the game over episodes for that? Sens Leafs in the first round, every episode being a head-to-head?
I would love that. I mean, I don't insane. Know. I like you too much. I wouldn't want to be fighting, you know. I wouldn't want, but yeah, you know, I might have to get that way. I might
it would
have
ruin
to, like,
friendships in the STPN. We would just be insane.
I'm gonna have to like turn brutal. Heel. I'm gonna have to become a villain. I'm gonna be on my villain energy when that happens. If you know, hopefully it happens at some point. Another catastrophic goal. Almost another catastrophic. They had another giveaway and another. In another power play, and it was an odd man rush again. This is something the Leafs fans will know all too well. Like, the turnovers, like neutral zone turnovers, have been just absolutely unreal lately. Like, just on, like, they're on one right now. All the neutral zone turnovers and the odd man rushes, that's what kills them. And yeah, it was an odd man rush for the Senators. another turnover, another bad goal. Drake Batherson puts it in the net, 2-2. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I can't gloat about my about the Leafs in the Battle of Ontario being in the Leafs' favor anymore.
No, and I'm and I don't know. I don't want this episode to just be like the two of us like complaining about our favorite hockey team, but like just to even put it into perspective how I felt this season. Like Batherson had a wide open net to shoot at on that rebound there.
Yeah.
And I thought there's no way he's hitting the net. Like that's just one of those shots where you just assume, oh, this is going to go 3 feet wide. Not because it's Batherson or anything, like nothing against like his play this season. He has been better this season than last, but just one of those things where it's like, okay, well, this isn't going to end up going well. I'm making a conscious effort now. That's the last time I'm like, you know, being negative about a good thing happening. I'm done. I'm done for the rest of this episode. Ooh. It's nothing but positivity about the good things that happened. Batherson did score, did tie the game. And yeah, at that moment, I was like, no, they pulled me back in. They pulled me back in.
That's what they do. That's what the teams do. Yeah, no, I know that effect. I know that nothing could possibly good happen effect. I am you right now. I can see inside your brain. But now, like now I'm gonna go off because that happened to like that came to fruition. The Batherson goal at the beginning of the third, or the first 5 minutes of the third. I don't know what the hell happened there. I looked at it like five times, and I'm like, what? Like, nobody. The bounce was unbelievable.
I saw a lot of Leafs fans. Being mad at Martin Jones, and I saw a lot of Sens fans making fun of, oh, there's Martin Jones. But I will say, important to remember that Henrik Lundqvist allowed a goal just like that in the 2017 playoffs. Erik Karlsson scored a goal just like that. So I'm not going to be the guy who says, ha, look at Martin Jones, because listen, if you see Hank let in a goal like that, it was a freaky shot. It was weird. Yeah. No one thought he was getting the puck onto Martin Jones's back. It was just going to roll off his back and into the net. Like I don't know. I don't want to be the Sens fan who gives the Leafs too much credit, but like I don't see how you can blame Jones on that one, to be honest with you.
No, I wouldn't there. I mean, people were blaming Jones. I mean, like, that's one of those things where it's like you realize it's a rubber puck on ice where just weird shit happens.
Yeah,
There was a Leafs game, I don't know if you saw it, where like they played the Rangers, and all three goals against Martin Jones, I think like three of the goals were just weird off people, like just rolling into the net. It wasn't even any kind of, there was nothing wrong with what Martin Jones did. He just got the bad roll of the dice. I've actually loved what Martin Jones has done. He's kind of saved their playoff spot right now. And that's something you would not expect to have said 2-3 months ago. So.
No, I was absolutely part of the crowd making fun of the Leafs for that signing when it happened.
Yeah.
I was.
I didn't make fun of it. I was like, to me, I was like, oh, people are like, oh, I'm Martin Jones. I can't believe that. I'm like, he's the third goalie. We're not going to see him. Who cares? Marley's goalie. Little did we know, you know, he was going to end up usurping the number one goalie that was took them to the second round. That's something that's like hockey. Like, blows your mind.
Goalies are voodoo, man. That's just it. Like, you never know. You never know with goalies.
Yeah, you don't. Like, you don't go. That's why I'm glad they did not sign. That's why they didn't sign Samsonov to, like, a big deal. And, like, I think that's, like, instructive. Like, unless they're, like, legendary, don't sign them to big long-term deals because you just never know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I saw something that you didn't like. I saw a tweet of yours. So William Lagesson, our big Thor defenseman.
Great hair. Listen, as you can tell, I'm a hair guy.
Me too.
Yeah, man. And listen, if I got nothing else to say, dude has great hair. I got to give it to him there. He's got great hair.
Yeah. But then you said, why is he fighting after a clean hit? You're not happy about it. Give me your thoughts on it. I want to know. I want to know what what was sticking in your craw about
that? Yeah. So I also mentioned in the tweet, this isn't a dig at the Leafs. This is just the way the NHL is now, where players are going after Brady Tkachuk after a big, clean hit. A fight happens after Ridly Greig is poking at a puck that wasn't whistled dead yet a few too many times. I'm not one who, like, and I don't want this to sound like I'm saying that, like, my problem is with, like, the fight that happened. My problem is just how the fight began. I absolutely hate, you know, like, those, like, rehearsed, like, pre-planned fights,
yeah,
where you're like, all right, well, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Like, they're, like, off the face-off, you're like, well, these guys are going to fight this game, and we, like, that's so stupid.
Yeah, I hate that, too.
But I hate fights following hits. I hate fights following, like, if it's a dirty hit, fine. But, like, I hate when there's a fight that follows a clean hit, or in this case, Ridly Greig poking at the puck, like, a couple too many times before the whistle is blown. I'm just tired of that being part of the game. And to be honest, it's boring. Like,
yeah.
And, like, you know, just to, you know, make me a Sens homer and all that, Ridly Greig clearly didn't want to fight, and there was no instigator penalty on that play either. So,
yeah,
just throwing that out there. But, no, I think I'm just tired. It's just boring, man. I'm so sick and tired of every time someone's hit a really big, clean hit, the other team has to fight for that. Like, no, man, like, he took a clean hit. He's going to get up. He's going to be fine. He's going to play the rest of the game. Like, it's just boring. It's just really, really boring, I find.
Yeah, I think what I think he did was, it's just like, in the mindset of the Leafs or William Legison, he just saw that horrific goal go in. They just saw their lead evaporate. I think the first thing that comes to your mind is, let me change the momentum in a caveman kind of way. Punching face equals momentum. I mean, personally, I'm not, like, huge in the fights either. Like, again, the rehearsed ones and the ones that's like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you, like, those ones, especially when they're, like, squaring up, it's just kind of, yeah, I see what you mean there. When there's scrums in front of the net and everybody just kind of, like, tackles, I kind of like that because it's just
that's intensity of the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heat of the moment, I'm all for it. Like, I'm not necessarily, like, I don't know how you feel about fighting in general. I'm not really one to be like, you know, I'm not walking around with a sign being like, take fighting out of the game. Like, whatever, 5 minutes for fighting, it's fine. It's fine. But just, like, I don't know, man. I'm all about, like, a heat of the moment response fight, not a, you poked at that. At that puck a few too many times.
Yeah. Well, look, I think he just wanted to swing momentum, and swing momentum he did not, because the Leafs, again, you know, it didn't work, but they were crashing the net. And that's one thing as a Leaf fan I will take positively. I know there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of negativity going on in the comments about the Leafs, and that happens after every loss. But I like the way they were getting their chances in this game. Even though they kept going wide and Artem Zub kept blocking everything like he was Dikembe Mutombo or something like that, old basketball reference. I like the way that they're crashing the net. They were creating havoc, and that's something that they have not done in the past. And I like the way they were doing that, especially Tyler Bertuzzi. I like the way that's what he's kind of brought in for, to create some chaos in front of the net, change the way the offense goes, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, and as someone who has no problem admitting that I can't stand, okay, so Tyler Bertuzzi is one of those players I can't stand, and a lot of that is just the fact that he is so effective most of the time. He hasn't necessarily had, like, as far as I can tell, he didn't have, like, the fastest start with the Leafs since getting to Toronto, but, like, just all those, like, divisional games against the Wings and the Bruins, like, both fan bases for tonight have seen him a lot through his career. Yeah, he's really effective, especially in tight.
Yeah. I mean, they created havoc, but still kind of went, and then you had Brady Tkachuk scoring the empty netter there. The captain of the Sens, who, like, always kind of seem, I mean, he's grumpy, isn't he? Like, he's outwardly, you don't usually see that, like,
He's 55. Like, just spiritually, he's a 55-year-old. Like, yeah, he's a 55-year-old stuck in traffic at all times.
Yeah. he's gotten his boomer energy, eh? Like, he's just completely... Yeah,
he's,
like,
just he's always grumpy, but, like, in the most entertaining way. So I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's bold. Like, I guess it comes from coming from, a hockey family to where it's, like... Like, he went at, like, he was calling out Sens fans for getting on DJ Smith.
Oh, that's
like,
a that's whole, yeah.
That's something I'm like, okay, I don't like calling out fans because you paid a ticket, you should be able to boo, as long as you're being respectful. But if you want a coach fired, you should be able to express that. Then again, I'm like, I applaud his guts for going at, like, a Canadian markets media and saying, hey, I don't like what the crowd was doing. I think that comes from being a part, just being... having it like growing up in NHL ranks, but I kind of enjoyed that. I was like, I kind of respect him for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's always at the start of his career. I mean, he's always been very outspoken. He'll talk smack to whoever. But I think it's gotten to the point where now, if he were to, I don't think he would have been playing it up as much if it wasn't in Toronto. And an empty net goal. Like, if this was a game against, like, you know, nothing against Nashville, but just, like, the Sens and Preds hardly ever play each other, just geographically, like, it just doesn't happen very often. Like, if he pots an empty net goal in Nashville, I don't think he's going to be giving the crowd a hard time. But, yeah, no, those comments about the fans chanting to fire DJ Smith have not aged very well.
Yeah, I mean, it happened. I guess the fans kind of got what they wanted. And that leads me to the next point. Like, there's a lot of things intriguing about this team to me. Like there's a lot of things. The Jacques Martin, getting him as a coach, I mentioned earlier about it just looking really strange, and it felt like I was transported back to being 10 years old again. First of all, he hasn't aged a day. Like, he looks pretty good. Like, for then in his 70s, he looks pretty good. What did you think of that? Of going with Jacques Martin and then getting Daniel Alfredsson as his right hand man there? Like, did you find it strange? Like, you think it was the right move, or was it kind of like a, hey, nostalgia, remember these guys kind of move? What did you think of that?
I mean, new ownership is definitely leaning into nostalgia a lot. Has been like they've really been leaning into it. With Jacques Martin, I mean, I was happy when he was brought in as a consultant. I don't know. Like, I've been wanting the coaching staff to be switched over for like well over a year. By the time it happened, I had been wanting it since last November. So you bring him in as a consultant. That's cool. Like, it's nice to have, like, at least bring, like, if you're not going to get rid of the guy, at least bring in a new voice. But yeah, like, eventually a change had to be made, and he is just like the interim coach for now. I don't know why they would bring someone else in before the end of the season. I think you just let him, because let's be real, like, the season's, it's pretty much lost. The Sens are what now, 13-17, with, important to note, zero loser points.
I saw that today while I was doing the research. I'm like, I didn't realize that. I'm like, that's impressive. But also, like, in a weird way, I'm like, that's strange.
They can't tie games, man. They can't tie games.
Yeah,
you have a lead on the Sens with 10 minutes to go. It's done. They just can't tie games and get to overtime. Or if it does get to overtime, the only two games that they've played that have gotten past regulation were the two wins in Sweden. That's it. So, you know, if the Sens had a handful of loser points, like if instead of 13-17, they were 13-13-4. It's a completely different look. Maybe not a completely different look. It's a better look, but no, the East is just so crazy this year. That's going to be so tough to catch up to anyone. So I don't think that they're going to bother with bringing in a new coach before the end of the season. I don't see why they would. But no, like Jacques is going to be there for probably the rest of the season. And I think that's it. Like he's going to be 72 next year. Like, just let him, like, if he wants to still work in the game, let him be a consultant as long as he wants. There's a lot of people saying that they think that Alfie is being set up to be the next head coach, and that terrifies me because Daniel Alfredson is one of those people that I want him to be involved with the Sens forever. I want him to have some involvement with the team, but I need it to be like in an unfireable position.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know. It's like when, like Sakic being the GM in Colorado, Iserman being the GM in Detroit, like it must be so cool for those fans at the moment, but if anything goes south and they're fired, it just feels like it would ruin the relationship between the team and that person. And the Sens' relationship with Alfredson has been strenuous at best for a long time through like the previous ownership. So I don't know. Now that he's finally back in the fold and seems to be involved a lot more, even before he was brought on as assistant coach, I just don't want him to be in a position where he can be fired, because I've seen him leave and come back and leave and come back and leave this team too many times as it is. So no, all that rambling to say, I think it's going to be a completely revamped coaching staff come next preseason. But I imagine that it's probably going to stay the same through the rest of the season.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, that's the thing. Yeah, you're right. Like, they would put themselves in a PR no win unless he becomes like the best coach of all time. And he's like Bill Belichick. He's like 6 championships, something like that.
Yeah, if Jacques is training him to be the coach for the next decade, cool. But I don't think I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like I've worked in a workplace where it's like literally everyone was family. I'm like, you're not going to fire these people. So like, it's like, either they can't fire him and he's doing a really bad job, or you fire him and you like ruin the relationship. So that would be a no-win situation there.
Yeah. And actually, just to bring up, just to go back to my zero loser points as well, in the chat here, LOL, Sens only have 2 more losses than the Leafs. So, man, not to say that the Leafs are good because of the loser point. That's stupid. Obviously, I'm not going to be making that point. No. It's a stupid point, but it just goes to show how important the occasional getting to overtime is. It's so important in this stupid point system.
I hate it.
Isn't it the worst? Like, I feel like a lot of hockey fans are fine with it, but a lot of us who like are diehard fans of other sports as well. And we know like you're a big basketball guy. I'm a big baseball guy. And we know the positives as well, but also like the heartbreak that comes with just a straight up win or loss.
I love it.
It's great. It's so much
better. It clarifies everything. It's like, there's no participation trophy. You lost. That's the game. It's like you play to win the game. That's the old GIF of the football coach said. It's like, you play to win the game. It's true. Like, and it confuses people. Like, for a new fan, like, I have, like, a cousin who's not a big fan of hockey, and he's like, I don't understand this loser point. It's the stupidest thing ever. Like, why would they, like, why are you rewarded for a loss anyway? That's a kind of funny stat, but it's also, like, so, because it's so convoluted, it doesn't mean much, but it does sound funny.
Yeah. It would completely destroy record books, but I do wish that, it maybe wasn't worth as much as it is. Like, if a win was 3 points, I could kind of get behind like a 1 point OT loss kind of setup. But no, it's just one of those weird things where I've in my lifetime, as I'm sure most hockey fans watching this have done, trying to get your friends into it as well. And the first question being, why does this team with 38 wins make the playoffs over this team with 41? And you have to go, okay, well, they played like an extra 45 minutes over the course of the season, and they were rewarded for that by playing that many overtimes. Like, it sounds silly, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, you have to break out the almanac and just, well, let me explain it to you. This is hockey. Yeah, it's complex, but those are the hot button like bar issues where it's like we could just chat for days like old dads would or something like that.
In my opinion, it's the best sport on the planet, and it's also the weirdest to explain.
Yeah. And it's the weirdest league to explain too. They overcomplicate things when they don't have to.
That's just the NHL's MO.
Yeah.
Totally.
So like, I gotta ask, like, what happened? Like, what happened with, like, I want to get, like, finish off with the sense here. What happened, like, to you? What was the number one thing this season that has thrown it off the rails. Because, like, I see a team that is extremely talented. And, like, it has its deficiencies. But I've seen teams, like I've been, like, when the Leafs had the renaissance in 2016, 2017, they were still a playoff team and they were good. I mean, they were terrible defensively. Like, and it, like, but they still had, were competitive. Like, this team is, has so little points. And I look at them, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like what's the number one thing to you?
It's with the Sens, this season has been a lot of fans arguing over what the main problem is.
Oh, haven't settled. They like it.
No, it hasn't. I said tonight on Twitter, so basically what happens is the Sens have a goal scored against them and everyone split right down the middle going, you know, see the goalies stink. And then the other half is going, see, the defense didn't help at all. Up until this point, maybe less so with Anton Forsberg, but I've definitely been defending Jonas Korpisalo through this season so far, which I was shocked by because I hated that contract when it was signed. I did not like it at all. But no, like up until like very recently, I've been defending Korpisalo quite a bit. But tonight I kind of had that thought of like, well, you know what? I do think that the defense has been worse than goaltending, but that doesn't mean the goaltending has necessarily been good. Like, I think we're just wasting our time fighting over which thing that isn't working is working less. But no, like, I think everything about this team is broken most nights. And it's annoying because, like, I feel like they have turn the corner. I do think that December has been overall, maybe not so much in the standings, but just like as far as like not being absolutely horrified with the way this team has played. I think they've played decently, if not like I think they've looked like a good team in like 80% of the games in December. That might be lowballing it, probably more than that. But like, hold on, let me see their record in December because it's not good. It is not good. They were.
It's better than catastrophic, I guess. But you know, that's an improvement.
Okay, so it's not too bad then. Actually, now, I mean, it's still bad. They're 5-8 in the month of December, and that's with winning the last two games. And no, I think that they've looked like either the better team or they've looked all right in pretty much every game in the month of December so far, and they're 5-8. And it's just one of those things where you kind of go, okay, well, they lost, but, like, they looked good, and it's the end of December. Like, it's way too far into the season to think of it that way. You know what I mean? Like, we're officially at the point of, like, okay, if a team looks good, who cares if they aren't getting points? So to answer the question that I've completely gone off the rails trying to
get to, that's good.
Everything is broken with this team.
Fair.
And I don't think that, you know, and a lot of people are saying how the biggest thing was DJ Smith, I think, in his systems, which was like, there's no way that a team like there's no way a team that on paper should be this solid is struggling so much. So many of these like really, really talented players look bad on a nightly basis. No, like, because defensively specifically, it was terrible. Like, no one seemed to know who their guy was. No one knew who to cover. And when you look that bad and you're consistently making the same mistakes every single night, that's a system. That's what you're supposed to be. That's what your coach is telling you to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, things are starting to look better. Specifically, the power play has been looking a lot better since Alfredson took over for the power play. But it's going to take a lot of time for this team to get out of those habits that playing for DJ Smith created. DJ Smith has been the coach of the Sens since 2019. A lot of these guys, a lot of the young core on this team have only had him as a head coach. If you outside of Brady Tkachuk was on the team for Guy Boucher's final season with the Sens. If I'm doing the math right in my head on number of years there.
So makes sense.
So it's one thing to be like, okay, so this team has, you know, like DJ Smith is a problem. system wise and this coaching change should be making a big change in that way. Like just to say, like, I don't think it's a personnel issue on the team. Like, the depth is an issue a little bit, but like, you're absolutely right. This team should be better than they are. But I think the coaching change is a step in the right direction, but it's going to take a while to sink in, because this team has been playing the same way for years, regardless of who's on the roster. It's been the same game plan every night. So this core has been playing a certain way for majority of their NHL career, for some of them, the entire thing. And it's going to take probably the rest of this season to really sort out teaching them some new systems.
I will say it's not far off. I don't think it's far off. I think you know, they should probably chalk it, probably sell a little bit, try and do a bit of a soft tank. But I don't think it's far off. I don't think it's far off. Thank you guys so much for watching. I want to get everybody in here. So if you got questions, Ottawa questions, Toronto questions, questions about the NHL, about how happy Charlie is with the Blue Jays offseason. He's newsflash. He's not.
I can't. No.
Give me some questions, guys. Throw them away.
Audie and I are doing a game over head to head for one of the for the remaining Sens Flames game. And yeah. I am genuinely concerned that it's just going to turn into us talking about the Blue Jays the whole time.
It's quite a risk that it'll become game over Blue Jays.
Yeah. It might be a problem.
I saw somebody in the chat saying Sheldon Keefe is a liability. Like, and
ooh,
yes, Josh Sanders,
saucy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can't. I mean, they're in a playoff spot. Actually, there's another thing saying the Leafs are 4 points out of a playoff spot, are 2 points from being out. East is unbelievably crazy.
East is nuts. It's stupid.
Which I like. I think it's fun. I think it's good for the Leafs to take their medicine now and learn how to like play when their playoff lives are in danger. But yeah, Sheldon Keefe does have his things, like where the team plays down to their competition. They have certain teams they just can't beat no matter who's on the other side, like the Sabres. Like, they always play bad against them. And a game like this where they showed up for the first period and just kind of had so many mental errors. I tend to agree there, Josh. I tend to agree. I thought Keith, you could have made an argument he should have been shown the door in the offseason, or they should have went after somebody else just because of all the catastrophes that have been under his watch. But I think they ride with. I know they're not going to fire him, so there's not really any kind of like reason to speculate. But I'm like, I'm 50-50 on.
Yeah, it's tough to. So what I will say as an outsider looking in, I think that Leafs fans are in a unique position. Just Toronto sports fans in general are in a unique position with a coach not doing well, like a coach with a consistently good team that makes the playoffs every year, but like isn't good enough. Look at the Raptors, right?
Yeah.
They fired their coach when he won Coach of the Year.
That was savage.
And the fact that that worked out is nuts. Like let's be real. Listen, I'm wearing this shirt right now. It's nuts that worked. It absolutely is. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if firing Keefe is the right move. If bringing someone else in just to try something out, you know what I mean? Like, it's. I think that Raptors run is still fresh in a lot of Toronto sports fans' minds, and they're going, well, if it worked for that, but
yeah,
I mean, look at Jacques Martin in Ottawa. He got fired after the Leafs beat them in the playoffs in 2004.
Yeah.
The Sens were going on a run every year.
Yeah. I guess the message gets stale. I guess, look at it.
Yeah.
You know, if I heard someone saying, like, you know, this kind of dovetails, can the women's Leafs win around this year, by Mark Sherry. Yeah, they can. But Can't Control Life was saying that it's better for the Leafs to go under the radar and try and make a big run of the playoffs if you lose part ways from Keith. That's probably going to be the move. I hope they go and win the Stanley Cup and they give him this big statue out in the Legends Row.
Yeah.
Him with his scowl like this, like that, always that one, like that constant serious face with a little smirk. That should be the statue. I hope that happens, but you know, the team is not complete. I mean, I'll say the Leafs are not a complete team. Like, they're very, they have some very big flaws that, you know, they could have the talent to paper over, but the talent has got to be like legendary to paper over all of those warts there. Trying to look at some other questions here that we got. I will sit here. That's the thing. I mean, if everybody wants to give us more questions, but yeah, that's the thing. Like with Keith, I guess it's a wait and see approach, honestly. I mean, Mark was saying the Leafs are not ready for a cup, and I agree. So what do you think?
Okay, I do want to quickly address Delta in the chat said correctly that the Sens didn't go on a run every year. Sorry, a run was a poor choice of word. I should have said making the playoffs.
They made the playoffs. Year. Yeah, they were decent.
Yeah, that's my bad. I shouldn't have. People use going on a run too often in sports, yeah. And I've picked up this bad habit of like using that. No, you're absolutely correct.
That's the Toronto definition of going on a run. That's the Leafs definition of a run, where it's like they had seven games. They made it to seven games in a playoff. You believe it? Run.
Yeah. No. I think just being in Ontario, it's contagious, and I've picked it up now at this point. So. Yeah.
Totally. Well, I think if we don't have any more questions trickling in, just want to say thank you guys so much for joining us for this crossover episode, talking about Ottawa, talking about Toronto. Yeah, I'm excited to do this. We've never done this before, Charlie and I, and I think it went really well. You know, it's always a fun adventure to talk to somebody that we've never had any kind of stream, and I think it went pretty well. It was a great pleasure talking to you, Charlie.
Yeah, man, this was a blast. Every time I do these, I wish that they were all head to heads.
They are fun, aren't they?
I'm gonna bring this up at the end of every single head to head episode ever. Imagine if we had this in the COVID Canadian division season. How insane that would have been.
Yeah, no, we would have been worn out. I mean, then again, I don't know. I wasn't a fan. I mean, I watched the games, but I was just like, this sucks. There's no fans in the building. This is a weird half league. But
that part of it sucked. But imagine for some reason in this hypothetical, everything's normal, but it's just the Canadian teams playing each other again. Be awful for every hockey fan in the universe except for the game over hosts. We'd be the only ones having a blast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks. And again, thank you everybody so much for watching. If you like this video, hit subscribe. Tell everybody. I mean, you guys all probably subscribe, but tell everybody. You know, my name is Fuad Sulun. You can find me at Fuad_sports on the X app. Charlie, tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on X/Twitter at CWArsenault. And yeah, just like he said, guys, like the stream, hit subscribe. We're closing in on 100,000 subscribers on SDPN.
Okay.
We are less than 2,000 away. So let's get there.
Yes. We want to have a big party and celebrate that. So thanks again for joining us. And I guess the Leafs are better. Does that mean that the Leafs are better? No, wait, sorry. The Senators are better. I don't know.
It's Ontario's team, baby.
I guess
Ontario's team.
Ontario's team has the Senators have stolen the title.
First game of the season. Did the Sens beat the Leafs first matchup of the season? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, the first Leafs match. Yeah, they beat them. So yeah, that's it. You guys have the trophy for now on.
That's the series, right? That's just three games this season, right? I think that's it.
That's how it goes.
Is the Sens Leafs series this season done in December? Do the Sens and the Leafs not play each other again? Am I blanking?
I don't know, but...
That can't be right.
Can't be right. I don't know.
I'm going to do the last minute, just quickly scroll through, because that feels so incorrect in my brain. So there's one more. There's one more in February.
Okay. Okay, that's for all the marbles.
I was getting sad. I was like, is this like already in December? Is that it? No, yeah. There's one more. There's one more. Thankfully, there's one more. So, all right.
Take care, everyone.
Have a good night. See you next time.